welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms in athletics and sport. I am really excited about the growth of our group. We are now 2,000 strong inside of Chat in the Garden Facebook group, a companion to this podcast. And so today I thought I would acknowledge our top contributors, because let me just be really clear. In order for you to grow, you must be engaged in the Chat in the Garden private Facebook group. You'd be really surprised the partnerships that actually have happened from the engagement that happens inside the group. And, you know, commenting or just, you know, putting a like or emoji, a heart. Because what we do in the garden is we congratulate each other. We encourage each other. We plant those seeds of empowerment every day. And interesting enough, hey, you are missing out on all the different new appointments that have happened among the women in the garden. And shout out to all those individuals. I would be on here a long time repeating some of the announcements. We got new folks in the AD spot. We got ADs moving from one place to another. One of them happens to be the National AD of the Year for Division III. We have one moving away from athletics on the collegiate side and taking their talents to the Olympics. I'm telling you, all of them are black women, okay? So come on in. I mean, you're missing out on what can empower you to go to your next. So I just want to give a shout-out to the top five contributors for the last 28 days inside the Chat in the Garden private Facebook group. Dr. Delise Kofi, who is the founder of her own mental health. She's the mental game coach. And, you know, you can learn more about her. She just signed up to be in the second issue of Significance in Athletics and Sports. She was also on the garden last month. And so, hey, that's what engagement. I mean, honestly, I would say she joined the Chat in the Garden maybe 60 days ago, 60 to 90 days ago. And she surpassed everybody who's been here for 7 years, okay? So that's what happens. When you get in and you're looking to grow your business or grow, more importantly, your stock in athletic administration, where people can know who your name is, because I'm trying to tell you, it's like earworms. When they see your name and see what you're doing, when the opportunity comes up, you automatically pop into their head. And they won't even know why or how you popped in the head. That's what exposure does. It elevates you to the top of the class. Top of the class, the people don't even know that you were in the class. It's just that your brain remembers the last thing it saw. So you really need to use this platform, you know. And that's why, again, I created the magazine, Significance in Athletics and Sports. Not to wait for somebody to write an article about you. Go ahead and write it yourself. Create those opportunities and those earworms for yourself. The number two is one young lady that I'm proud to say that I'm part of her journey, is ATN Thomas, athletic director at Winston-Salem State University. I was privileged to give her her first time full-time job at St. Paul's College. I was in the conference office, and there was an opening, and I said, and, you know, her boss was one of my mentees, Dr. Ingrid Ricker McCree, and she was her GA or part-time assistant, and I needed her to lead an SWA meeting for Ingrid, and I saw how she carried herself, and I said, hey, there's an opening. I'll just give them a call, and you got the job. So, hey, now she is her own boss. She's athletic director at Winston-Salem State University. Hats off to you, my dear. Oh, here's another one of my mentees. It didn't dawn on me that I already knew some of these folks. Today I'll just start off by talking about the women that are in the garden who are most engaged. Renee Edwards, who is associate or senior associate AD at Mississippi Valley State University. Their titles are not listed on my list here from in the garden. So I'm going top of my head of what I think they're doing at that institution. But she is even though she's my mentee, she is, I want to say, at least 20 years, at least 20 to 25 years, she has been an administrator in the athletic world. And proud to be able to say this. Oh, actually, ATN and Renee are best friends. They were in grad school together. But they're both CIAA babies. One's from Shaw and one is from North Carolina Central University. So, yay, you never know. You never know. You can become rivalries and then you become best friends. And so they're both grown in the business. But she's down there with my bookend, Diane DeFort Key, and I call each other the bookends because when we were both in Division II, we shared on committees and we would tag team. But instead of calling tag team, we called it the bookends. So it was like if it was an issue or something we wanted to address, one of us would begin it and the other one of us would end it. And even in the CIAA, we created some things together. She was a volleyball coach, and I was a volleyball statistician, and we kind of created how we wanted the volleyball championship to be. How do we select our conference? How do we create our championship? Because she served on a lot of NCAA committees, and so she brought that information back, and so did I. So it's really important, people. In order for you to grow, you got to get on committees. Because you got to be able to see a different perspective and bring it back. And I would say that has a lot to do with the growth of many of the women that you see that I post inside the group. Shout out to Felicia Johnson, who was just selected from the NCAA to be on a task force on something dealing with compliance. I'm not really sure. I can't remember what it is. But, yeah, she was on the management council. So she made a mark, and she must have people remember her because a task force is where you were selected. You know, people are trying to solve a problem, and they are picking people who have got some expertise in the area. And so that's why I think that's phenomenal because task force, you were selected, and you don't apply for. So those are the kind of things I get really excited about. Hey, the next lady I want to mention is Laverne Champion Amaker. When I tell you, and it says she joined 2 years ago, and I tell you, if I ever seen a kind of relationship develop in 2 years, she has become my ace. I mean, I help her, she helps me. She's a consultant, and right now, for me, is the COVID situation. Now, she was a risk management expert, and she was traveling across the country getting her certifications from FEMA. I mean, when I tell you, she would definitely go get all the education she needed to be able to grow what she was creating. And so I kind of helped her be in the marketplace of what you already created. Well, for me, working at Boo Williams and trying to institute some of these practices, hey, I hired her to show us how to do electronic waivers and contact tracers. So, hey, it is a two-way street here of growth, and I just had a personal scare. A family scared with COVID, and Laverne, I also call her Alva, she was like, how the phone hits, not the telephone, but the Facebook, when they're trying to do the FaceTime, she says, I want to see your face. I just want to see your face and to make sure you're good. Hey, that just warmed my heart. Love You, Alva, to death. At number five, and Charity Ford, another one who's been in the Garden for 4 years. Again, we've been established for seven. Shout out to her. She did the same thing. She gave me a whole list of how to deal with COVID at home. I don't have COVID, but a family member of mine does. And so that's why we had to stop our Facebook Live last night. We're going to pick it up next in a couple of weeks. And so Charity was supposed to be my guest on the contributors last night. And so I said I got to swing by the ER to check out this breathing situation with my family member. And so, hey, again, it's like family. It's a really a great group, and but it's you got to be engaged. You got to comment. You got to like in order for you to get the most out of it that that you need to get out of it. And I tell you, I am just to start the group, I didn't even know what I was doing. I started a group because the man who told me to have this podcast, you got to have a group. I said, huh? What's a group? What's a Facebook group? I don't have any kind of idea. So you just never know. You just never know what your next will be. I'm just going to say this. Stay open. Stay open. And in the analogy of a garden, keep your ground moist and ready to receive. All right? Keep it, I don't want to say broken up, but not hardened, okay? Open your heart, open your mind to receive the seeds that may come, because you just never know what can bloom later, okay? So talking about spreading seeds, I'm really excited about the opening up of some conferences to have in person, and continue to do virtual, because I'm slated to do a virtual retreat for the SIAC Senior Women's Administrators. I'm really excited about that, and I'm really excited that they also purchased the magazine for all the attendees. And so just really excited about that. So I'm only saying that to say my calendar is open. I'm ready to schedule individuals, individual campuses or conferences on the calendar to do staff retreats. I think everybody needs some empowerment and how some tools to be able to navigate. And that's what I do. I'm a leadership strategist. And I think my tools are something that can be used for personally and professional. So if you're interested and you're looking at bringing something that your staff can use professionally and personally, definitely consider Season Empowerment myself to do that. You can go to my website, seasonempowerment.info, to see my previous folks that I have done work with. And, again, I can do it virtually. And I think the last one I did virtually was Selma High School Athletics. Well, no, I can't say it was high school. It was Selma Public Schools, because even their middle school administrators were there. And I actually asked me to come back to work with a small segment of the group that would work closely with the athletic director with it. So, again, you know, to be honest, anytime you're dealing with a crisis, and COVID has been a crisis, communication is the key, and how you create those communication channels are really important, because you really cannot deal with this in a silo. It really can't, because especially if you're so far removed from the actual students, you need to be able to have some type of communication trail for that they can communicate what's going down at the front line, okay? I need a favor from everyone who's purchased a magazine, whether electronic or Amazon, or you bought it for me, or if you bought it from one of the contributors. I need you to go on Amazon and just write a review, because that will allow the magazine to go up the list as it relates to women in athletics, and hopefully black women in athletics. Because, again, you know, we have so many sports management degrees out here, and all of these young people want to know, how do you break into the business? And then when you get in the business, you kind of need to know how to deal with issues, because that's really what you're going to be doing. When you're in athletics, you really are a fire person. That's just it. You're ready to put out fires, and it's hard to anticipate fires. But if you can learn from somebody else how they did it or what can occur, that's how you raise your profile. So that's another reason why I want the magazine. I want to be able to share the expertise of how you have put out fires, how you have solved problems, what systems did you put in place. And so put this in the hand of a young person. Put this in the hand of your seniors or the recent graduates that are coming out. So come on in. Come on in and go to Amazon.com, type in Significance in Athletics and Sports, and purchase your magazine. If you already purchased your magazine, just give maybe one or two lines. And honestly, I know you all can do it, because here's the funny thing. When I had, and it's coming up again in June, when we had our annual listener appreciation reception, I was trying to make sure that we didn't have any Zoom bombs, you know, people coming in who don't belong in. So I said, let me put this question in. What is a chat in the garden? And the answer was supposed to be podcast. Well, my people gave me paragraphs, and I was like, oh, this is beautiful. They were talking about what a chat in the garden meant to them. So I took all of those quotes, and I made a T-shirt. So, again, I had no – look, y'all, I was not trying to be in the product business. But I couldn't pass this opportunity up for celebrating what you said this podcast does for you. So, hey, it's getting warm outside. If you need another Chat in the Garden T-shirt, or you haven't gotten your Chat in the Garden T-shirt, you can go get your T-shirt at payhip.com/seeds of empowerment. payhip.com/seeds of empowerment, and get your Chat in the Garden T-shirt, which was written and quotes from you all, the listener, of what that is. So just two call to action. Go get your T-shirt, or maybe two. Go get your T-shirt, number two. Buy the magazine for a young person on Amazon. And number three, if you have the magazine, please just put a book review, even though it's a magazine review, of what that is. I belong to a couple of actually belong to a real one major business group, and one of the groups is a business group with black women entrepreneurs, or just black entrepreneurs, period. And it has been going crazy, because both of these women have been on Shark Tank. And one lady has done crowdfunding, and I think she raised $2.7 million in 4 hours to contribute to be an investor with her. It's called equity investing. And I learned a lot on that one, because it's different from crowdfunding to help somebody launch a product. This is, you get a stake in the company, especially if they go public. And I was like, what? And it's Curl Kit. So I'm just going to do a small commercial. If you are a natural hair person and you use Curl Kit, you need to go to her site, because now she has an opportunity for you to join her her equity funding for, I think it's a new line or something that she's got going on. So that was phenomenal, just in celebrating each other. But that brings me back to this. If you don't even have a mindset to invest, if you tell me you don't have money to invest, if you don't even see, you know, same as stock market, even what I just said about equity crowdfunding, all right, this is not what you see when people have a loved one pass and they need to raise money for it, okay? Not talking about that. This is really preparing for your future. More importantly, is having another income stream. So if all this is foreign to you, I really need you to hook up with Jolene Robinson, Stepping to Win. Jolene Robinson is a former Division II conference champion. I mean, really, she on her wall, it says champion, 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 okay? And even on the high school level, she was a champion coach. But she's just taking her winning ways to teach the women about the financial investor game. And so, again, proven winner. And a conservative one. She's not a flamboyant person. So it's a safe place to be conservative with. And if you need an additional income stream and you're not sure what we're talking about, go just text her at 980-298-2231, 980-298-2231, or email her at jrobinson@steppingtowin.com. Again, jrobinson@steppingtowin.com. Here's another resource that I'm actually giving to my students at Hampton University Sports Management. You know, it's end of the year, and, you know, now it's the project time and things of that nature. And it never, I'm really proud about the mindset of my students who want to look at, one student brought to my attention, he wants to do his paper, his research paper, on why are there certain sports that athletes lose all their money. And you know the first thing I said, you need to go get the book Surviving the Lights, a professional athlete's playbook to avoid the curse. Now, by Tawana Smith, I hate that we still have to have this conversation that, you know, we still got people who are doing what they love to do, but after they finish doing it, they don't have anything financial backing to show for it. And what I like about Surviving the Lights of Professional Athletes Playbook to Avoid the Curse by Tawana Smith is that it has peer educating. Like, she has interviews of people who have actually experienced it. And, you know, research shows that it's peer research, peer education, peer influencing, that changes the actions of others. So that's really key. And then it has actually some a script to tell how to let down your family and friends that want to be in your camp dealing with your money. You know, how do you break it down to them? So it's a great resource. And more importantly, don't take my word for it. The NFL purchased the book for their attendees at the Celebration Bowl. So if they saw this as a great resource, you should too. You should too. And it's on Amazon in three different formats. It's paperback, audio, and ebook. So check it out, Surviving the Lights, a Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse by Tawana Smith. And I'm glad to be able to share my platform with Dr. Kiki Baker-Barnes, the athletic strategist. She is having a Sports Leadership Academy for teens in June 17th through the 20th. Tuition is $249. And on her behalf, I'd like to thank you for many of you providing scholarships to these young people. On her birthday, I don't know how much money she was able to raise, but I know that she's able now to offer some scholarships. So if you do know a young girl that would be really, and it's a virtual too, so interested in this, that and how to apply for the scholarship and how to donate for the scholarships, go to go to bit.ly /SYWCIAAcademyApp.com. Again, bit.ly SYWCIAAcademyApp.com. If you were trying to remember the letters, so you want a career in athletics, SYWCIAAcademyApp.com. And hey, let's grow the next generation. Let us grow the next generation. Well, now has come the time to interview our guest for today. And I'm excited about this because I'm telling you, the Facebook feed is hot about the HBCU football. And I think I just posted that the Bayou Classic, which is really weird that we are going, like I said, when I saw that, I said to myself, I must not be reading this right. This can't be what I think I'm seeing. Then I remember, oh, yeah, they're all having football in the spring. The Bayou Classic is happening this month. And, so it's HBCU football time. And we are ecstatic about having LaToya Monique Williams, Director of Internal Football Operations and Liaison for Academics at Jackson State University. Welcome to the garden, LaToya. Hi, LaToya.
Hello. How are you?
I'm great. You hear your cheers?
Yes.
Touchdown.
That was awesome. Thank you so much.
Oh, boy. So
Thank
I'm
you.
Excited about having you. Girl, can you breathe?
It depends on what time of day it is. it has been an amazing experience being here at Jackson State and having an opportunity to come back home. This is amazing.
Oh, wow. Well, I got lots of questions, but I want to just start with our baseline of every show. Tell us your journey from college to your current position.
Yes, ma'am. My journey really started in college. My freshman year in 99 at Alcorn State University, I was working as an equipment manager, as a student manager, and ironically, none of my girlfriends understood what I was doing, why I was sacrificing all the hours and basically working for free, you know, in undergrad. Mm-hmm. But I started as a student manager and worked my way up. By the time I got ready to graduate, I was working in the athletic director's office under Robert Raines, and he had thrown some papers in the trash can. I literally went through his trash, and at the top, it was a letter from the NCAA regarding their internship program. And I pulled it out of the trash. I was like, Coach Raines, why didn't you give me this? And he's like, Toya, I didn't think anyone wanted to do it. So I just threw it in the trash. I was like, okay. I completed the application and was hoping that I would be selected, but this was my first time ever attempting anything like this, the first time applying for a real job. And they called. And it was so crazy. Arthur Hightower, he's now with the San Diego Chargers. He called me, and I hung up on him twice. I thought it was the football players playing with me because they knew how bad I wanted the job. He called my parents home. My dad called me and said, LaToya, Arthur Hightower from the NCAA is calling you. I was like, oh, that was for real? And he called me right back. He was like, Toya, we would love to fly you into Indianapolis for an interview. And I literally couldn't breathe. I was like, wow, this is what I have been working so hard for. And to have this opportunity now It was unbelievable. And I had never been on a plane before, so I was scared about having an interview and then my first time being on a plane. But it all worked out. I got my master's degree, and once I finished that, in May I left and I went to the NCAA in June. They offered me the job. I was working in education services with Kim Ford and Curtis Holloman, Duke Pryor, and Little. So I had some amazing people
around
me.
Girl, you got the heavy hitters.
Yes. I had the time of my life during that year, but that really gave me a concrete foundation in athletic administration and what I really wanted to do. And while I was there at the NCAA, a lot of people didn't really understand my personal why. And although I had opportunities to go to PWIs, my heart has always belonged to HBCUs. Mm-hmm. And I felt like at that time with the programs that I was doing with Divisions 1, 2, and 3, the leadership conferences, I wanted our student athletes at HBCUs to have the same opportunities and the same caliber of people working with them. And so I made a decision then that everything that I learned while I was there, I would take that back to our institutions. And ironically, during that time, the NCAA had just started the grant for athletic academic enhancement. So I went to Alabama State first. I started that program at Alabama State. I left Alabama State after 2 years, and I was under Sonia Price. She hired me there. And I went to Prairie View. I worked at Prairie View. I started their program. And I'll be honest, by that time, when it's just one of you and 17 sports over 500 athletes, I was burned out at that point. So I went on to Texas Southern and got another master's degree and thought I was going to take a different path in life and end up in human resource management. You know, like, okay, I'm done with athletics. I'm out. But God, you know, everything took another shift and turn. I went back home to Mississippi, and I got a phone call from the president of Alcorn State. When he called, he said, "Toya, I have a job for you." And I was like, "Dr. Brown, are you sure? I have never worked in this capacity in athletics," and it was director of sports information. And he was like, "You can write. I know that I've seen your work. You can write." I said, "Okay." So I did what I know how to do best, networked. I called everybody in my network that worked in this position and was like, "Look, I am going to accept this job, but I need help." And LaTonya Thurston was at Alabama State at the time, and she and I were really good friends. I called her. I was like, "You know, I am bringing a young man with me. We're coming to sit under you for a week. I will not fail Dr. Brown or my institution. This is my alma mater. I need to be able to do this job the way he's expecting it." And she got us together. Tonya did everything to help us. Her staff was on board with assisting us with this. And after that, I moved to Dallas, and I was managing the Mo Williams Academy. So I got into AAU basketball, had five teams that I was managing, and at that time had no idea that our head coach was also the head coach at Prime Prep Academy. And I had experience, of course, at the NCAA, and they needed assistance with that at Prime Prep because it's like this school magically appeared with all of these star athletes and nobody called the NCAA to say, "Hey, we're opening a school." So we had to kind of go backtrack some things for initial eligibility and get the school back on track and hopefully in good standards with the NCAA so our guys could accept their athletic scholarships. And that's when I met Dion. And we have been glued together since 2013. I started doing a lot of stuff at the school. It started out, you know, as kind of a consultant thing. I was teaching while I was there. I was doing football operations, baseball operations, academic stuff. So everything that I had gone to school for, he utilized all of the degrees and knowledge I had while we were at the school. So after that, everywhere he moved around to, I went with him. And I started the fourth quarter agency in the middle of that, which is a boutique firm. I do travel concierge and education consulting for athletics. And he's like, "Toya, I really want to coach. My son is graduating from high school, and it's time now. I feel comfortable with leaving high school, and I really want a college job. So we started preparing to make all of that happen. And to be here at Jackson State now is a blessing.
Well, I have to just ask this question. So he said he wanted to be a coach. Did you try? Did you help him? Because again, you went to Alcorn, which is right down the. I don't want to say because Alcorn is out there. You can't. I did
yes,
a staff
ma'am.
Retreat for Jason Capel when he was there.
Yes.
And I said, oh no, you have to stay on campus because there's no hotels. I was like, oh, okay. Now, I'm from Virginia, and it's country.
Mm-hmm.
But, honey child, I was like, oh, I get your point. But let me just tell you about, before I go to my question, girl, I'm laying in the bed in Alcorn in the special housing, and I'm awakened by Lift Every Voice. I was like, what in the world? Because I got goosebumps with just even singing it out loud. But I just wasn't prepared for that, to be awakened that way.
I'm sorry.
I mean,
welcome to the yard. Welcome.
Girl.
Jason should have warned you about
this. I mean, like, okay, yes, I know it's long away. I ain't got a problem with that because I like solitude. I went home to my home in Waverly the weekend, cut on no TV, just listened to the birds, read a book. Rejuvenated, okay? Cool with that. But I was just like, and then I was just like, what beauty that is. You know what I'm saying? Like, HBCU, I went to Hampton University, and yes, we hear the ding-dong to tell us what time it is. But people who are listening, Alcorn has an awakening. Lift Every Voice and Sing at 7 a.m. every morning for their students and guests who sleep on the yard. How long has that been going on?
I honestly don't know. I got there in 99, so they were doing that when my sister was there in 90, so I don't know.
Wow. But that's a tradition. Mm-hmm. That truly is like no other that I have no. I mean, but I mean at Hampton we have the don't cross the Ogden Circle and but that I mean that to me just ooh. And then I saw the statue of Margaret Evers similar to, and I was fine. I was telling Jason, I said, yeah, we have a similar statue. Booker T. Washington, and I showed Jason because the hand is pointing. I think your guy's looking in one direction, and it's just symbolism. And to see that you at Jackson State, and we're going to talk about it. You know we're going to talk about it, but not necessarily about prime time yet. I want to talk about the big picture. Okay, the fact that. He said he wanted to coach. He did not say he wanted to coach HBCU, but we already know that your affinity for that, so I'm sure you could convince him. What do you think is going on with these former NFL players coming back to coach on HBCU campuses? Is it a trend going on? I saw what your man said something about it, but I wanted to know your take on it.
I wouldn't necessarily call it a trend, but you're right. When we were exploring options for him, a lot of different options were on the table for PWIs. But when I really started looking at things, and I told him, I really want to make this make sense because it's not just about you. It's going to be about how this move that we make better other people, or even give them an opportunity to say, hey, if they did this, I can do the same thing. I've always believed that our school should have great people. And that's what my mindset was when we were looking for and entertaining jobs for him. So I don't think it's a trend. I will always say this, you can always come home. And for so long, our athletes felt like they had to leave in order to become a professional athlete in their respective sports. And I really wanted to change that scope. Like, you can do that from any HBCU. You can come home. And that's what I was telling him, because I looked at the social and racial climate of the country when we were doing all of this. And I looked at his platform and who he is. To so many people, he's larger than life. And the one thing that I hate everybody don't get a chance to see is who he really is. I know Dion. I know Primetime. I know Coach Prime. And knowing all those things about him really made me say, this is what we need to do. You have to finish your degree. Let's look at an HBCU to get that done. Mm-hmm. I really want your story to be, when you're talking to mom and dad and a prospective athlete, that you're not asking them to do something that you didn't do. Mm-hmm. If we're going to sell an HBCU, I want you to be a product of an HBCU. Mm-hmm. And we made that happen. I thought this process of us getting here didn't happen overnight. It was thought out over a couple of years, and we figured, look, this is what we can do. And it all really started with, you can come home. Mm-hmm. That was my whole thing. I'll back up a little bit. When Ashley Robinson, which is our athletic director, Ashley is like my brother. We've been best friends for over 25 years. We actually grew up together. And when he called me, he was like, T, we're going home. And I was like, because both of us was living in Houston. And I said, are you sure you're leaving Prairie View? He was like, yep, we're going home. I said, okay. I packed up. He packed up. Both of us came back to Mississippi. He was like, you know, I'm going to Jackson State. And when I was working on his speech, and that's how he was like, so I don't trust anybody else to do this. Please put my speech together. You know me and you know HBCUs. I said, okay. I wrote his speech, and I titled that speech, Building on Tradition, Blazing New Trails. And you see that everywhere now, but that meant something to me. I would see, if we're going to do this, because I'm looking at, like you said, bigger picture. We know the condition that the institution is in, that you're inheriting. What can we do to, one, bring that tradition of winning back championships, Hall of Famers? What can we do? And that's where the Blaze New Trails, we're going to have to shake some things up to get to where we want to go. So once I felt like Ashley was comfortable in his position here and what he was doing, the changes he was making, I called him. I said, I have your next head football coach. And when I told him who it was, he was like, sis, no, I can't do that. And I thought, I'll give you a year and a half to do what you have to do. But in the meantime, I'll come back. I went back to him 3 times, and he said, yes, you're persistent about this. Let's look at it. What do I need to do? I am more comfortable now. And the whole thing was, he didn't want to bring a high-profile celebrity into a situation, and it wasn't right. And I couldn't do anything but respect that. Mm-hmm. So when he was able to get the right people in place that could handle a hire like this, it was a different conversation. Mm-hmm. It was, let's make history together. Mm-hmm. We're all on board. We're going to do what we have to do to get Coach Prime here. And it was the buy-in from the city. Like, everybody just look at, like, he showed up overnight. No one really knew the work behind the scenes. It was calling the Blue Bengals, saying, look, this is what I'm thinking about. Even before I got to Ashley, I was talking to people in the community, because I know Dion is a big community guy. Mm-hmm. He want to make sure that once he gets here, he can go out and sit at somebody's table, go to somebody's home, dine in the city. He wanted to see everything. He basically infiltrates a city or community as if he was born and raised there. And mm-hmm. it's that sense of family and home that motivates him. But, again, people just see Prime Time. I looked at him when we were in high school and how he treated his players, even the students there. He would walk the halls of Prime Prep Academy and notice everything about every student. And if it was something down to shoes, he would say, Toya, call that kid's parent and tell them that they're not coming home tonight. I'm going to take them shopping. That child has had shoes on that have been torn for a month. Mm-hmm. It was that type of stuff. You know, young ladies that didn't have fathers, he became that father figure. He was teaching them how to drive. And it was so many other things. So I'm like, okay, this is everything I felt like we needed at an HBCU. He embodies all of that from caring about other people and doing things that don't nobody know about, because a lot of times we just see the end result. We never know the work that's been put into it. So the whole situation came about us bringing a change for all HBCUs, not just Jackson State. Everything that I loved about HBCUs, I poured that information into him. And then I was like, look, this, we have a unique culture. And that culture, we really don't like a lot of change, especially if we don't understand the change. So then it turned into buy-in. He feels like we can play on any playing field, but he always say, we're going to level the playing field. I am all about that, but I'm looking to exceed expectations. I want a PWI caliber kid to come in here and say, I choose Jackson State, and not just because Deion Sanders is the head coach. I want it to be, you have the major that I'm looking for. I've researched this, this, and this, and this is why I want to be here, not just an athletic situation. I want you to walk on our campus and say, this is home. I want you to be a part of our community and say, I feel comfortable, I feel safe being here. And those are the things that we're working on. Like, when you leave our program, you're not going to just be a professional. We're looking at you being a professional in life. And if you have an opportunity to be a pro athlete, that's even more amazing. That's just another part of your story and your journey from Jackson State.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah, well, so that's why I was really glad that Eddie entertained them when they said, you know, hey, Tennessee State is open. And it's so crazy. A couple of weeks ago, Deion and I had a conversation in his office. Because we do this thing where in order for me to get him to do something, I have to give him something. So, you know, I listen to everything that he says, and he was like, you know, I'm tired of ESPN3. Like, nobody even knows where that is or what that is. So if you want me to do this interview, you know, you're going to have to give me something. So I made a couple of phone calls, got a little bit more information about it, and I was like, Coach, I have some phone call set up with you and the SWAC commissioner. We're going to talk about this and see what we can do. The next week, it was ESPN2. A couple of weeks later, it was Flagship. You know, so, and my whole thing was, yes, you all want the interview with him, but what are we going to get out of this? And the type of exposure that we want isn't ESPN3. Mm-hmm. We want it all. And it's not just benefiting Jackson State. Whoever we're playing, their student athletes get a look as well. And I'll be totally honest, those young men took that opportunity and made a better situation for themselves. Mm-hmm. Because the last couple of games, I mean, everybody has watched it. We lost those games, but to see how hard the other team played, and those kids took advantage of the situation, I love it. Because it's not just about us. It's about everybody that we consider to be our brothers, our sisters, and our HBCU community. That was huge for all of us. And when I looked at the ratings, I couldn't do anything and say, thank you, God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we did well, so now they know it wasn't a mistake to take a chance on putting us on a flagship channel.
Wow.
You know, because that's what he wanted. He said, Toya, I tell you what I want to do. I want to see more Hall of Famers take head coaching jobs at HBCUs across the country. And it's not about the money. We all know we're not going to get multi-million dollar salaries out of this. Mm-hmm. It's about making sure that the athletes that are attending those HBCUs get the best people possible, coaching them to put them in the best position to go to the league or be a professional in life. So when Eddie called and was like, you know, he called Prime and asked him about his experiences and all that stuff because they're really good friends, I was like, wow, what you wanted and what we wanted is really happening. That's why I'm like, I don't really think it's a trend. I think it's something that's here to stay because you can always come back home.
And so where is Prime from?
He's from Fort Myers, Florida.
Okay, but you're from Mississippi.
I am, yep. I am from the Mississippi Delta area. I grew up at Mississippi Valley State in the Old Bound program and went on down to Alcorn. My whole family went to Jackson State, though, so I am a swag baby.
Yeah. And I like how you continue to say, we make.
Mm-hmm.
That tells me that you are not, you are actually, I mean, prime time was already prime time, but I think you put the coach with the word prime time. I think I would say she added the coach to it. But your ink pen, I think that's what I'm going to say, because you are the orchestrator of Coach Prime, especially now that you're saying on the airwaves for folks like me who don't necessarily follow all of that, but when I saw all of this, I am watching. I am watching.
Yes, ma'am. It has been an amazing journey. It really has. But he has a team, and all of us, we are of same mind. And he told me something because when we first got here, everybody, all the coaches were around the table and we're having a discussion. And when things would go wrong, he'd look at me and he's like, Toy, that's on you. That's on you. So it's like every staff meeting, the coaches would turn around because they know when he turned his head, that's on you. And I own it. That's what I told him. You know what, coach? You're right. And then finally one day, because all the coaches were on us like, you're so hard on her. And, you know, they were upset and going, and he just looked at me. He was like, because I know who she really is. I know the potential that's there. And she can handle it because at the end of the day, she has to be of the same mind as me. When I'm not there, she has to be able to make the same decision that I would make, you know. So everything about me, Toya has to embody. And that's why I'm so hard on her, because she's been with me a long time and she can handle it. She knows exactly what I want, but I want to also make sure that in my absence, she steps up and make the same decision that I will make. And I told him, and now everywhere he go, I'm like, Toya, I'm looking for coach. I'm on your six. I got you. Don't worry about this. So, you know, when people see me on the sidelines, they were like, no. Everywhere he go, I go. We going whatever direction we walking up and down the side, I'm right there with you every step of the way. I see everything, and I know it's like this is what. And I, because all the times the coach just tell me what you want, it's like you already know. You've been with me long enough, and that's what I tell new people that are joining our team. He expects you to think the way that he thinks. He expects you to be able to complete his sentences, to know exactly what he's thinking before he even knows that that's what he's thinking. That's the best way to work with someone, because he's constantly on the go doing something. And that's really, that's how we work. That's how we function. And, well, you know, in the beginning it was a little rough because I'm like, okay, look, we're both transitioning into this together. But and actually sitting down having that conversation, I was like, coach, you're right. I got it. I know exactly what you're expecting of me now that we're here. Let's make it happen together. And he handles everything on the field, everything outside of X's and O's, I handle. And we trust each other to get the job done.
Well, Jashel Mitchell of the NFL, I don't know if you know her. Do you know Jashel?
No, ma'am.
Oh, girl, you need to know Jashel, because she was in your shoes at North Carolina Central University with Coach Mack, and now she works with NFL and operations. She says, she didn't have a question. She just said, I just wish her well and let her know I am a resource if she ever needs it. She said T.C. Taylor, the TN coach, was her OC at North Carolina Central. So I wish them well and hope she gets all the experience she needs to do the job at a high level. She says she is rooting for you. And so here at the Garden, we are all rooting for you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. I'm sorry. Thank you.
Oh, dear. You
know, I am all about women empowering women, and I've had some phenomenal female mentors throughout my journey, and I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for them. So I appreciate that. Thank you.
Call on us anytime. I can't believe it, but we're out of time, baby. And
yes,
so
ma'am.
I got to play my commercials. I know you can respect that. So we're going to say bye there.
Yes,
and thank
ma'am.
You so much. Call on me anytime. If you need contacts, you let me know. We're proud of you. And, hey, just let Prime Time know the Gardener's rooting for him, too. Okay?
Thank you. I appreciate it, Ms. Money. I appreciate everything. Thank you all.
You're very welcome. Thank you to our engineer, Jamla Harrison, who was also an NCAA intern. She came in with Ms. Kim Ford. So you got a sister right there as well. So Jamla Harrison is the founder of Refined Solution and is our engineer for our show. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for show updates and guest show, a podcast follow-up. Follow us on Facebook's A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. Have a significant rest of the day.
Hello, I am Jolie Robinson, a retired collegiate head women's basketball coach and now a wealthy trader and business owner. Are you tired of living paycheck to paycheck? Do you feel financially stuck or strained? Or maybe you just want to make some extra money? If you said yes to any of these questions, then what are you waiting for? Contact me, 980-298-2231. It has truly changed my finances and life, and I just want to share this with everyone. This could be the change you're looking for.
This is Alva Champion Amaker of A&A Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving the lights? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.